Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 21. The Word of God says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." This is Paul calling for all the elders of the church at Ephesus. "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul does something in this verse, the last verse that I read, that I love to read in the Word of God, and that is that he summarizes everything that he's been preaching about. He says, "I have taught you publicly, and I've taught you from house to house. I've taught the Jews, and I've also taught the Greeks." And then he tells them what the focus of everything is that he has been preaching and teaching. He has been teaching them two things. One is repentance toward God, and the second thing is faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Usually in the Word of God, when the Bible summarizes an individual's preaching or an individual summarizes his own preaching, the Bible summarizes it by saying that John the Baptist preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Or it will say that Jesus preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Or it will say that the 12 apostles went out and they preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." All through the Scriptures, the Word of God always summarizes the preaching of those in the New Testament is that they were preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I want to say right here that Paul is not changing what he has been preaching when he says, "I have been preaching to you repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." That is what all of them have been preaching, is repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you are preaching the kingdom of heaven, you are preaching those two things. You are preaching repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you come on down, you'll find that even though Paul summarized in verse 21 and says, "I have been preaching repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ," when you come down to verse 25, he restates what he has been preaching. And in verse 25, the Scripture says, "And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God." He's been preaching the kingdom of God, and he's been going all around preaching the kingdom of God. But as he was preaching the kingdom of God, he states it a little differently in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, when he says, "I've been preaching to you repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ." Those are the two absolutely essential ingredients before you can enter the kingdom of heaven, is that you have to have repentance toward God and you have to have faith toward Jesus Christ. This morning I want us to study repentance toward God. Repentance toward God. Tonight, if the Lord leaves me of the same mind, I want us to think about what does it mean that we need to have faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are two completely different things. Though they are connected to some degree, those are two different things. And Paul says, first of all, "I have been preaching publicly and from house to house to the Jews and to the Greeks. I have been preaching repentance toward God." That's the first thing we want to look at. Repentance toward God. There's a lot of confusion in people's lives today about what repentance is. We need to know what it is to repent. If you hear all these scriptures in the New Testament that say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you don't know what it means to repent, then you're just going to be lost, aren't you? You're going to be confused. So we need to get a clear understanding of what it means to repent. When a person feels conviction because of sin, that is not repentance. A person can feel remorse and sorrow because of sin, that still is not repentance. A person can even confess sins, but that is not repentance. All of those things may lead to repentance, but repentance is when an individual actually turns away from sin and turns toward God. That's what repentance is. The definition is to turn away from sin and turn toward God. It's when a person has been going the way of the world and now he begins to walk the way of God. He's been walking the broad way and now he's going to begin to walk the straight and narrow way. He's been following evil and now he's going to begin to follow God and follow good. And so Paul says, I have been preaching to you repentance toward God. Isn't that what all of us need, is repentance toward God? Not conviction, not just to feel guilty because of sin, not just to feel that we want to confess our sins, not just to feel bad about our sins, but we want to feel so guilty and so bad that we would, by the grace of God, that we would repent and turn away from those sins. Listen, in Acts chapter 24, look in your Bibles at Acts chapter 24 and we'll find that the Apostle Paul was preaching to a man whose name was Felix. And I want to, as I read these two verses to you, I want you to tell me, did Felix repent or did he have something different than repentance in his life? Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and 25. The Word of God says, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul, that is, Felix sent for Paul, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, what he wanted to know was the second part of what we mentioned a while ago in Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. He wanted to hear about faith toward Christ. Did you know Paul would not just talk to him about faith toward Christ? You know what Paul's going to talk to him in addition to faith toward Christ? He's going to talk to him about repentance. Repentance toward God. You preach half a gospel when all you preach is faith toward Christ. You have to preach repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. So Felix calls for Paul to come and talk to him concerning the faith in Christ. Verse 25 says, as he reasoned, that is, as Paul reasoned with Felix of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Do you think Felix wanted to hear about judgment to come? No, he didn't want to hear about that. He wanted to hear about faith in Christ. He wanted to hear about the blessings. He wanted to hear about the good things. Well, listen, the Apostle Paul could not tell Felix about the blessings of faith in Christ until he first talked to him about the judgment of Christ, and that unless Felix repented, he could not experience the faith in Christ Jesus. So he began by preaching repentance toward God. He talked to him about righteousness and about temperance and about judgment to come. That's what he talked to Felix about. Listen to the rest of verse 25. When Paul talked to him about righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, what are the next two words there? Felix did what? Felix trembled. Why did he tremble? He came there to hear a good message. He came there to hear about faith in Jesus Christ. But instead of feeling good, he begins to tremble. What caused Felix to tremble? It was the power of God working through the Apostle Paul speaking to Felix about judgment to come, about righteousness, and about temperance. And as he preached to Felix about that, Felix trembled. So did Felix enter the kingdom of heaven? Did Felix enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, let's see what the next couple of verses say. Felix trembled. Do you think he's fast toward entering the kingdom of heaven by trembling? Do you think he's headed in the, at least headed in the right direction whenever he begins to tremble? He's at least headed in the right direction. The Spirit of God is working on Felix right here. When he begins to tremble, he believes what Paul says. He's been born in the Spirit of God. He understands God is going to judge him in his life. The rest of this verse says, after he says Felix trembled, he says, and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Why do you think Felix told him, leave right now and I'll call you when it's convenient? I want you to notice the next verse. You know what happens when a person comes face to face with the fact of judgment to come? When they begin to realize that God is going to judge them, when they begin to tremble, if they do not follow that trembling with turning from evil, if they continue in their evil way, they harden their hearts and they cease to tremble anymore. Look at the next verse. He says, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore, he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. You see what Felix did? Did he continue to send for Paul many times after this? But did he tremble anymore? He didn't tremble anymore. What was he wanting Paul to keep coming for? What was he looking for? He thought Paul could give him some money, so he kept calling for him to come. But Felix, once he had trembled, once he came face to face with the reality of God judging him for his sin, and he trembled, and yet he did not then manifest toward faith in Jesus Christ, and he did not repent, though he trembled, trembling. Fear was not enough. What did it take? What's the first thing that Paul says that he preached to the people at Ephesus? Repentance toward God, not fear of God. Fear of God alone. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. But fearing God, and fearing God is important. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. But if all you do is fear God, but you don't fear Him enough to repent, then fearing God is of no value. In fact, you will stop fearing God unless you repent. That's what Felix did. He just stopped fearing God. He just kept calling for Paul. Paul continued to reason with him about righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. But all the talking of Paul after this was to no avail. Why? Because Felix had hardened his heart and he did not repent. Back up to Acts chapter 7 in your Bibles very quickly to Acts chapter 7 beginning in verse 51. The Word of God tells us about Stephen preaching. And Stephen, as he preaches to the people here in Acts chapter 7 beginning in verse 51, Stephen is preaching the same basic message that Paul was preaching and Jesus was preaching and John the Baptist was preaching, which is to repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want you to listen very carefully. One of the primary responsibilities that a man of God has is to confront people with sin. One of the primary responsibilities that men of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament had, one of their main responsibilities is to confront people with sin. Isn't that what Paul was doing with Felix over there? And when he confronted him with sin, not to be afraid of Paul, but to fear God and to repent, to turn from the evil. And now here in Acts chapter 7, we read about Stephen preaching. And as Stephen is preaching here in Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 51, listen to what Stephen said to the people. Acts 7 verse 51, Stephen is speaking and preaching. And he says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? You do always resist the Holy Ghost. What does that mean to resist the Holy Ghost? Well, that means that when the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost begins to convict you because of sin. You know what was happening over there with Felix in Acts chapter 24? The Holy Spirit caused him to tremble. The Holy Spirit opened his eyes and opened his ears, and he knew the God of judgment, and he trembled. But what did he also do? What does Stephen say these people here are doing in Acts chapter 7? They are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. And then he says, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. Have you ever felt the Holy Ghost move in you to turn from sin toward God? Have you ever felt like there was something wrong in your life and that you needed to change, but you resisted the Holy Ghost? If you resist the Holy Ghost, if a person does resist the Holy Ghost, that person is going to soon stop feeling the Holy Ghost. He says, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. He says, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? Why did the fathers of these people that Stephen is preaching to, why did their fathers persecute the prophets before Stephen? Why did they persecute the prophets? Because they told them the truth. Because they told them to repent. They taught in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. The message to God's people has always been, repent, turn from your evil way. Turn, O Israel. God made that statement to the children of Israel repeatedly. O Israel, return unto the Lord. Turn, O Israel. Come back to me. Now verse 52 continues and says, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One. What was the Just One going to do when he came? Judge, exactly. Judgment. He says, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, having received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these words, they repented. Is that what it says? They repented. When they heard these words, they were what? They were cut to the heart. Verse 54 says, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. If you're going to be cut to the heart, would you say, that's a good thing. They're cut to the heart. Sounds pretty good, but is that repentance, to be cut to the heart? That's not repentance. That's not repentance. Being cut to the heart is not repentance. These people were cut to the heart, and look at their response. Instead of being cut to the heart and repented, it says they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They despised. What did they end up doing with Stephen? They stoned him to death. Why? Because he preached what? What was his message? Twofold message. But what was the first part of the message? Repentance toward God. Did they despise Stephen for preaching repentance? Did Felix despise Paul for preaching repentance? Absolutely. Did Paul himself many times resist the Holy Ghost? Did he? When his name was Saul, did he? Look at Acts 9. Look at the very next page. Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 4, Saul of Tarsus is on the road to Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, the scripture teaches here and shows us that Paul had often been pricked in his heart. He had often felt conviction of the sin that he was doing. But did he keep on doing it? Is conviction of sin, is feeling bad about sin, is that repentance? No, that's not repentance. Is conviction of sin and feeling bad about sin and being cut to the heart and trembling, is that what God requires? No, that's not enough. Look, in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 4, the Word of God says, and he fell to the earth. This is when God, Jesus, began to speak to him. Paul saw the light from heaven. Verse 4 says, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Have you ever been pricked in your heart? You ever been pricked in your heart? God ever spoken to you and told you, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. You ever been pricked in your heart? You ever been warned by God? Had Paul been warned by God a number of times and he'd been pricked in his heart? And what does Jesus say that Paul had done every time he had been pricked in his heart? He said, you've kicked against the pricks. You've rebelled against my spirit. You follow that? Was him being pricked in his heart, was that repentance? No. Was him feeling guilty about killing Christians, was that repentance? No. What did he have to do? He had to repent. He had to turn away from that. It was not enough that he felt convicted. It wasn't enough that he was pricked in his heart, but he had to take action as a result of feeling pricked in his heart. Sometimes we're pricked in our hearts to stop doing evil. Sometimes we're pricked in our hearts to go forward and do something that's good and pleasing to God. Doesn't have to always be turning away from sin. But if God's telling you to do something and you don't do it, you're kicking against the prick. If you feel led to go visit in the nursing home and you don't go visit, have you ever felt that way? How many of you have ever felt like, you know, I'm going to start studying God's Word. I'm going to start studying God's Word every day. How many of you have ever felt that way? How many of you have felt that way but didn't follow through and keep on doing it? Okay. You know what we do? What do we do? We kick against the pricks. What are we not doing? We're not repenting. We're not going forward in following God. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 9. Turn quickly in your Bibles, please, to Exodus, chapter 9. I want to ask you this question. Can a person actually confess his sin and still not repent? Can a person be convicted of his sin and acknowledge his sin and confess his sin, but still continue in his sin? See, what the Apostle Paul was preaching over there was not conviction of sin or confession of sin or remorse because of sin, but what he was preaching was repentance toward God, repenting from sin. In Exodus chapter 9, you remember how the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage? Pharaoh was the head of Egypt. What did God do after he sent Moses and Aaron to tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me? Every time that Pharaoh rebelled against the commandment of God, every time he refused to do what God told him to do, what did God do then? God sent a plague. And this is what we're looking at right now, is a plague of rain and thunderings and lightnings that scared the people and scared even Pharaoh. Where can you get to hide from lightning? There's nowhere to go. Can lightning come into this building? So if you're afraid of thundering and lightning, what do you need to do? Call on the Lord. That's right, call on the Lord. Pharaoh was afraid when the plague of thunderings and lightnings came. Now, what did Felix do over there when he got afraid? He trembled. Pharaoh is trembling. Look now at Exodus chapter 9, verse 27. Exodus chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. The scripture says, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. Is he confessing his sin? I have sinned. After he says, I have sinned, what's the next two words say? This time. It's like, I didn't know I was sinning before, but I know I'm sinning this time. I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous. Does he know God? Does he know God? Absolutely. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Is he speaking truth? Does he know the truth? Is he afraid? Is he confessing his sin? Does it sound like he has repented? Are many evidences there that he's repented? The evidences seem to be at least heading in that direction. Verse 28, he says, entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. He says, Moses, if you'll just pray to God, and God will relieve us of these thunderings and lightnings, I'll let you go. So, God stopped the plague of thunderings and lightnings. And what did Pharaoh do? Pharaoh hardened his heart. Have you ever hardened your heart? Have you ever been in the middle of a storm and said, you know, sometimes I have a dream that just, I'm scared to death that I've messed up real bad in my life. And during that dream, I'll think, Lord, if you'll let this be a dream and just let me wake up, I promise you I'll do a lot better in my life. And I wake up and I think, whew, man, I'm glad that was a dream. And maybe for a while I do a lot better, but guess what happens after a while? You know what happens? Let me say this. Somebody made this statement last week. They said, repentance in the time of a storm often doesn't last in the calm. Repentance, here's the exact way they worded it, I think. Repentance that is born in a storm will die in the calm. Does that make sense to you? Repentance that is born in a storm will die in the calm. In other words, sometimes when the Lord's wrath is poured out, we're ready to repent. Pharaoh was ready. It sounded like he was going to do what he was supposed to do. But come down to verse 34. Look in Exodus chapter 9, verse 34, the scripture says, and when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. He sinned even more. Now we can sit back and look at Pharaoh and say, you know, that's a terrible man, but that's what we sometimes do. We get afraid and we think, Lord, I'm going to do better. I'm going to repent. And you know what Paul preached everywhere he went, over and over? You know what Peter preached? You know what John the Baptist preached? You know what Jesus preached? You know what the 12 apostles preached? You know what the 70 disciples preached? You know what Andrew preached? You know what every single New Testament preached? They preached what? Repent. They preached repentance. You know what I'm preaching to you today? You know what I'm... And let me tell you this. Every time I've got one finger pointed at you, I have three fingers pointing back at me. Do you know I need to repent? All of us need to repent. There's not a person in this building that doesn't need to repent. There's nobody here that's perfect. There's nobody here that doesn't need to hear the message of repentance toward God. And let me remind you of one other thing. Listen carefully. I want you to always remember Romans 2:4 says this. Romans 2:4 says, it is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Do you hear what I just said? It is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. So any time that you have ever repented and turned away from sin and turned toward God in your life, any time you have ever repented, it was the goodness of God that led you to repentance. We need to give all glory to God and thank God and praise God for anything that we've ever repented of in days gone by. We need to repent of things that are still amiss in our lives. May God help us all to understand that the message of the gospel is repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ is my prayer for Christ's sake.